companies, the deal could still be rejected. However, a final decision on the giant merger has not been made. Lawmakers and consumer groups have been pushing for the merger to be scrapped, saying it would cut the number of nationwide wireless carriers from 4 down to 3. Two U.S. House committees, now run by Democrats, are still ramping up the pressure, trying to get information on President Trump and his finances.
The New York Times reports the House Intelligence and the House Financial Services Committees have both issued subpoenas to Deutsche Bank and several other banks. They're seeking information about the president's financial dealings as well as those between the banks and Russia. Deutsche Bank has provided more than $2 billion in loans to the president over the years. The other banks also subpoenaed Citigroup, J.P. Morgan Chase, and Bank of America. For USA Radio News, I'm Wendy King.
And Alabama Republican voters seem to be willing to give Roy Moore a second chance, as a new poll shows Moore the favorite to go up against Senator Doug Jones. If Moore is nominated, it would be a rematch of the 2017 special election, which centered largely on accusations that Moore had inappropriate contact with young women. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A search continues for an 18-year-old Florida woman who made what authorities describe as concerning comments, which have led to the closure of dozens of Denver, Colorado area schools.
She is Sal Pais, who is said to be infatuated with the Columbine shootings in 1999. The threat comes just days ahead of the massacre's 20th anniversary on Saturday. FBI agent Dean Phillips says they were alerted by Miami law enforcement agencies of the woman's threats as she arrived in Denver.
She departed the airport and went to a store where she did procure a weapon.
I'm John Clemens.
The Trump administration is signaling it may start tightening the screws on Cuba again following the Obama administration's normalization of relations with Havana. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says since then, Cuba's behavior has only gotten worse. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarolecounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
We both wish you good mental health. Ruth Altamura Roll, Counselor's Chat, is in the studio today on I Love New Jersey. Location, location, location. I'm Jeannie Murphy, Weikert Flemington. If you're looking to buy, sell, rent, get in touch with me. Right now, the weather forecast in the area, mostly sunny with a high of 60, slight chance of showers after 9 p.m. tonight. Mostly cloudy with a low about 47. Thursday, chance of showers again. Cloudy with a high of 65. Then a slight chance of showers. Mostly cloudy with a low around 58 on Thursday night. Showers with thunderstorms also possible after 2 with a high of 72 on Friday. And then showers and possibly a thunderstorm low around 60 Friday night. Chance of showers, mostly cloudy all day with a high of 69 on Saturday. And then the same on Saturday night with a low of 49. Chance of showers, partly sunny on Easter Sunday with a high of 63. So we're going to go to our quick break, and then we'll be back with our show with Ruth Altamura Roll talking about the wellness event that we're having in May 11th, at Mariah. So stay with us.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Okay, welcome back to Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce Radio. I love New Jersey, and I do, as you know. Location, location, location. This show is all about New Jersey and what we love about it. One of the things that we love the most is Ruth Altamura Roll, Flemington, New Jersey counselor serving the area, and she's hosting an event on May 11th in Ringo's, New Jersey, which is going to tell us all about it. Welcome to the show again, Ruth.
Thank you, Jeannie. Thank you for having me.
It's always great to see you. I know. We go back way, way back. Like 20 years ago, we worked together. She was my boss. And that was at Crawford Center in Skillman. And that was when you were the executive director. And you've been doing counseling for so long.
I have been a counselor probably close to 35 years. So I have a little experience under my belt.
And she's so calm. And every time I'm with her, I always feel like I'm getting some kind of free like counseling or something, because she's just got such a wonderful heart, soul, and you're just a soothing person.
Oh, thank you. You're very sweet.
You should see her home, too. Like, she has all the, like, the meditation gardens and everything you would expect to be able to just, like, take in life. And so tell us about what's going on in your world.
Well, there's always a lot going on in my world. I am, as you know, I've got my private practice in town, which is doing fairly well. I've got a new website.
Oh, nice.
Which is alterolcounselor.com. So you play my commercialist is .net, so that's an old one. It's .com. I actually have an intern this semester, which has been fun. She's been really helpful. And I do my counselor's chat show, which comes on right after your show here. And topic being emotional overeating for today.
Oh.
And you are very gracious to allow me to come and do a workshop at your at Mariah and Ringo's, and the topic is going to be on addictions, codependency, enabling, and a general overview of good mental health. So it is a workshop, so that it's, you know, hopefully people come and participate in the day.
Last year, like, I thought it was like one of the best events that I went to in the whole entire year, even though it happened to be at my house. Like, you set it up that people could register ahead of time at Eventbrite, right?
Yes.
And it's called?
It's called Spring Into Mental Health 2.
I've been cleaning my house in preparation for it, but I'm bad at just remembering the name of it because I loved it so much last year. But anyway, yeah, so basically Spring Into Mental Health 2. It's in May because May is Mental Health Month,
yeah, Mental Health Awareness Month.
And so tell us a little bit about the schedule for the day.
Well, it's going to start at 10, so people could come at 9:30, register. And like I said, we're going to talk about some issues around addiction. I'm going to provide some education. You know, there's such a problem in this country currently, and there always has been, with addiction in general. But I wanted to just provide some education. We're still, which always amazes me, stuck on the idea that, you know, it's not a disease. But the reality is, it is a disease. It's a disease because it follows the American Medical Association's definition of a disease, which is, it's chronic. So that means once you're an addict, you're always an addict, be it alcoholic or a gambling addict or, you know, fentanyl and heroin, it doesn't matter. Once you're an addict, you're an addict. It means that it's progressive, so it gets worse over time. There's symptoms involved, so, you know, it doesn't matter who you talk to, but this, who's an addict, the symptoms are very similar. and it's treatable, which is always good news. Diseases are treatable, not necessarily curable, but treatable. And if left untreated, it can be fatal. So that is a description of a disease, and that fits the what happens when somebody gets involved in addiction. So I do want to talk about that. And I also want to talk about how it actually affects the whole family and society, through codependency, enabling, those kinds of things.
It's going to be such a great day. How long does it go on May 11th?
Till 2:30.
All right, hold on. We're talking about an event that's coming up on May 11th from 10 a.m. to 2:30, and it's at Mariah, which is 122 Manners Road, Ringo's. You can sign up on Eventbrite. We're going to go to our first break, and then we'll be right back. Stay with us. Thanks, Ruth.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Anyway, hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is I Love New Jersey. Location, location, location. You can look at how cute her face is. Ruth Altamora Roll is here in studio. She's the host of Counselor Chat that comes on at noon on Wednesdays right after this show. And she's also holding an event, and it's going to be May 11th, and she's talking about it. And so give us a little bit more information about it, and let's get really into it, because now we have a half hour. Stay with us and learn about addiction.
First of all, May is always Mental Health Awareness Month, and so I like to do things to promote mental and educate the public. And so this was one of the ways that I came up with, and so this is the second year I'm doing it. And I really, with the epidemic of addiction that we've got going on in our society right now, I really wanted to provide some education to the public. And I thought that this was a good way to do that, so that even if people don't have anyone in their family that's struggling with addiction and they want to learn something about addiction, please come on May 11th.
I find it hard to have someone who's not affected by it.
It's pervasive. So approximately 10% of the population are involved in some type of addiction.
Really?
So that's a lot of people.
Yeah. That seems like a low number even to me, though.
Well, that's how many people are actively involved that we know about. And for everyone addict, 10 other people at least are involved. in some way or affected in some way. So that means if my mother's an alcoholic, that means I'm affected, her husband's affected, my sibling's affected, extended family, people at work. You know, so it's very pervasive. It just kind of spreads out. It's very different. I think addiction is probably the most complicated disease because it's actually a disease of the brain. And we don't like to think that our brain can have a disease. You know, we have kidney disease, a liver disease, a heart disease. We have brain disease. And it's not just getting brain cancer or brain aneurysm. It is also an addiction. So what happens is it really affects the way the brain functions. It affects the emotional centers of the brain. And as a consequence, affects behavior. So a symptom, you know, if somebody has cancer or diabetes, a symptom isn't going and robbing a 7-Eleven. You know, to go get more M&Ms for your diabetes. Like, that's just doesn't happen. So it gives addiction a really sort of a criminal aspect to it. And I do believe that many people get into recovery because they have been caught in a criminal act. But
do you think they're sincere when they get caught and then they look for treatment? Or is that part of, like, what they have to do, but only a few are actually sincere? I don't know. I love to talk about this. I'm Jeannie Murphy, and I'm talking to Ruth Altamora Roll. If you know her, she's the host of Counselor Chat. She actually serves the 110th state of New Jersey with addiction counseling. And tell about a couple of some of the other offerings that you have.
In terms of my practice?
Mm-hmm.
Or wanting to get into treatment, so I help them get into a rehab, then they come back to me for aftercare. I work with people who grew up in alcoholic or addicted dysfunctional homes. I work with people who have an addicted spouse. So there's a lot where that's still a huge part of my practice. However, I also work with people struggling with depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress, eating disorders. My show is going to be on emotional eating. Grief and loss, stress management, couples counseling. I do a lot. You know, Jeannie and I, we go back quite a way. I worked at Crawford House, which is a halfway house for women, and you came on board and helped with doing some fundraising. I think it was the greatest bike ride I ever had.
It was fun.
They always raised, like, you know, $25,000, $30,000. When you came on board, we raised, like, $60,000.
That was crazy. It was fun.
It was incredible. You were such a great help.
People wanted to help. That was all it was.
And so the thing is that working in a halfway house, people came through rehab, they already came through detox. This was a long-term program, and it gave me the ability to work with the underlying issues that's often associated with addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's usually some type of trauma or mental health issues. So people use drugs and alcohol because they feel better. That's one of the reasons they use, and then they become addicted to it. So what was going on? Depressed, anxious, trauma, eating disorders, dysfunctional childhoods, all kinds of stuff like that comes into play, so that when I was at Crawford House, that was more of what we worked on, even though we worked quite a bit on people in recovery and getting them into 12-step programs and getting them to get a sponsor and work a program and continue educating in addiction. But there was a whole lot more than that. So I have all that experience that I bring to the table.
And you get to meet her in person on May 11th, because we're talking about the event that's open to the public. Anyone who's interested can sign up on Eventbrite. But I just want to mention again, you're right. You have so much experience, so many years, 30 years of talking to people, watching, learning, expanding your own education. I know you were telling me one time about how you were like the single only person that had some type of degree. What was it about it when you graduated college?
They had a history department and they had a religion department, but I was so interested, I couldn't figure out what I was going to do when I grew up. And so I had so many classes and such quite a variety, I had to write a paper saying how history and religion work so well together. So I'm the only one that's got a history religion degree from Moravian College.
Yay! No, I think that's fascinating. And I love talking to you about it, because last year when we were promoting the event that you had, this will be the second year on May 11th, I remember you were talking about like the fact that it, one thing I remember really well was you were talking about how like the 90 days, there's a reason behind 90 days about training your brain. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. It's a very interesting thing. AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, says when you're first entering, you need to go to 90 meetings in 90 days. Like that's a really important thing to help get your brain to start processing in a healthier way. They now do brain scans, and they can see a healthy brain versus a brain that's addicted, and they see after 100 days how the brain is beginning to heal itself. So that's a really fascinating.
It is fascinating.
You know, our brain can heal itself from addiction. Does that mean the addiction goes away? No, that means it's treatment, because you can easily relapse. There's something called the cycle of change. And the cycle of change starts off with, I don't think there's a problem. So it's pre-contemplation. But then I begin to think I'm having a problem. So then I start doing some research. And I discover what I want to do. And so then I start taking action. So let's say, I don't know, I want to lose weight. I think I've got a problem. I start looking, Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, count my calories, whatever it is. So I decide on one and take action. I was going to Weight Watchers. And I'm doing that action step now every day, and it moves me into maintenance. So once I'm in maintenance, hopefully I can exit the cycle. But the thing is, the cycle also has relapse. So relapse is part of the cycle, which happens oftentimes in addiction. A lot of times people relapse, and then you go back around the cycle. So that, you know, all right, so this didn't work. What kind of treatment is going to work? Let me make a decision. Let me take action. Let me move to maintenance. And we hopefully stay in maintenance. We don't want to relapse, but it is part of the cycle of change.
So when you talk about like enablers, like on May 11th, you said that 10% of the population has addiction, and then for each of those persons, 10 people are affected within the family. So basically that would be the husband or the wife, the mother or the father, depending on who it is. And then, okay, so when you talk about relapse as part of this cycle, do you... Because then if you're the enabler person like me, right, with only one of the problems in my whole life, me, myself, and I. But anyway, so when you say relapse is part of the cycle, then when an enabler is involved, does that mean that I'm enabling because I believe that relapse is part of the way to recovery? Or what happens with all that? Because then it's like, how do you not enable if it's actually something that may happen?
You know, I'm going to make that phone call. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to pay the bill. I'm going to bail you out of jail. I'm going to do all, because I don't want you to suffer. But the problem is with addiction, which is different than most diseases, is that one of the things, well, actually there's three things that get people into recovery. We have emotional pain, physical pain, and economic pain. So if you've got a kid that's been arrested and is sitting in jail, do not go bail them out. Let the jail take care of them. Let them face their consequences. Let them feel the pain. The enabling is allowing the disease to continue. I've had people who have had kids on the street, in Plainfield, prostituting to get their drugs, and they would call up and say, Mom, I'm hungry. I need a shower. So Mom goes, picks them up, feeds them, gets them a shower. They get clean clothes, go back out on the street. So I say, don't do that. They go, are you kidding? Like, really? I mean, that's kind of against like the mother's instinct. Like, you want to go take care of your kids. If your kid says, come and pick me up, I'm hungry and I need a shower, say, okay, I'm going to pick you up, take you to the hospital for detox. Don't bring them home. I always say, do anything. You can support your children or family member or loved one in anything that's going to lead them closer to recovery. If it's going to make their life softer and easier, you don't want to do it.
What about like, okay, so that's, is that called tough love still?
It is still called tough love.
And it does work?
It does work.
Because I get it, you know, I think it's the way to go. And I think person in the enabling situation has to learn that over time. It's like, I've tried this, I've tried to help you, now I can't help you, and you're on your own. But the one thing I wonder about when you talk about parents in those situations, like, what if there's a fear?
There is a fear.
Like, the mom is afraid of the kid. If I don't help and give money and give him a shower, I'm going to get robbed and I might get killed. Take it all the way to the limit?
Absolutely.
But what about, okay, so here's the situation. You can tell I'm very, very sincere to my questions on this very personal subject. Okay, so what about when you finally get to the point where you're like, okay, you're going to the hospital, and the hospital says, okay, great, and then they get in for 2 days, and then they release them because they don't have any way of helping them, and they don't even mind saying it. It's like, I don't know what to do with them either. Here you go.
There's a, I don't even know if it's still still there. I think it is. It's called the, oh gosh, my brain just lost the name of it.
That's okay.
Something bench, and it's in North Jersey. It is a rehab. And there's a story in their pamphlet that says, you know, my loved one called me. It was a snowy winter's night, and he said, Mom, can I come home? I'm cold. I'm sleeping on a park. Oh, that's what's called a park bench. I'm sleeping on a park
bench. Park bench.
Yeah.
Got it.
And it says, you know what? I've done everything I could to help you. I'm sorry. And I hang up the phone. I mean, that's what it, in their brochure. It says 6 months later, my loved one called me, and he got to treatment, and he's better, and it's been years, and he's doing well. I have had clients that literally, like, you know, my kid's in jail. My, you know, my daughter's pregnant. She's in jail. She's on heroin. What do? I want to go bail her out. And I say, no. What about the baby? Let the jail take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, let her have her consequences. And then years later, they come back and say, you know what? She's married now. She's got three kids. And there, here's the problem. There's no guarantee. People die from this addiction.
Mm-hmm.
There's no guarantee. So I am all about advocating to get your kid or your spouse or your parent or whatever is into treatment. That's really what you want to do. You want to get them into treatment. It's imperative that you get them to a hospital for a medical detox. People can die from detoxing without medical treatment.
What do you think about when they are put on prescriptions?
I think sometimes that's important. Like I said earlier, oftentimes people have underlying issues. So, you know, alcohol works. You know, if I'm really shy or withdrawn and I have some drinks and I can get on the dance floor, it works. The thing is it can turn into an addiction. So the self-medicating is generally there for a reason. We know even more that oftentimes there's some kind of trauma. So if there, you know, we hear, you know, post-traumatic stress, we think of military, the amount of people that get involved in alcohol and drugs because of trauma is incredible. And trauma isn't just military. And maybe I grew up in a dysfunctional family. Maybe I was beaten as a kid. Maybe I was raped. Maybe there was incest. Maybe I was bullied as a kid. Whatever the situation that caused the trauma, drugs and alcohol can take the edge off.
Yeah.
The downside is it's addictive. So it's better to then get on a medication to help with that issue, help with the depression. You may not even need to be on it your whole life, but you may need to be on it the first year or two of recovery,
mm-hmm.
Until you learn some other skills. But it is dangerous to detox on your own.
Oh, yeah. Well, what about, okay, so what about when you have someone, like I'm totally like 100%, you know, what do you want to call it, authentic here or so. But, okay, so it must be very rewarding for you when you see this person come in, probably with some kind of shield up, total like mask denial, like not really coming clean. And then somehow, and I'm saying this on purpose because I want you guys to see how good she is about just the counselor side of Ruth. Like, that's what she's going to be doing on May 11th. When you're talking to her, you hear her voice. It's so soothing. And I just love the way that I believe that when you're with a client, you're able to get them to drop that. So it must be so rewarding when you break through.
Hello. Sorry, we're on the line. On the air. I don't mean to be rude. If you were calling, call back. Go ahead. I want it.
Yeah, so it really is, I think one of the things about counseling is we're taught to be empathetic and we're taught to mirror. So the mirroring oftentimes is, okay, so I'm a little confused. Can you repeat what you just said? I just heard you say that, you know, when you come home from work after a stressful day, you drink a whole bottle of wine. Is that...
Whoops.
Is that,
God, me eggs. Yeah, God.
Yeah, is that correct? Like, how often do you do that? You do that every day. Oh, and on weekends, you drink two bottles. Well, have you ever considered, have you ever considered the possibility that you might be an alcoholic? Oh, no, not me. Okay, so then I leave it. But then I begin to start connecting some dots for them. You know, my husband argues with me when I've had too much to drink. Well, you know, gee, that's an interesting thing. You think that they're, you think you have... You know, and I actually have had clients, I mean, I only know what people tell me.
Yeah.
So I had a client who I worked with for a year and a half, and he came in and one day said, I just want you to know I'm a raging alcoholic. And I'm like, I really didn't know that because he didn't seem that way.
Wow.
He didn't smell of alcohol. He had enough money and financial security to keep his life looking together. Got him right into Carrier Clinic for a detox. He was there for 2 weeks, and then he came back. And I worked with him for 5 years since then, and he's doing really, really well.
Nice.
It really, a lot of it was working about how to stay sober, interesting issue with addiction, how to be uncomfortable. I don't like being uncomfortable, so I want to drink. Takes the edge off. Or I want to use drugs. Takes the edge off. But it really doesn't take the edge off. It's a temporary fix, and then it causes addiction. And I do want to include in this, and I'm really glad that New Jersey voted down having marijuana legalized in this state. Marijuana is a addictive substance. Mm-hmm. It is not a safe substance. CBD oil may be, but you really don't know how well it's been purified. But the marijuana that's out there today, you can get straight THC off the shelf, and that's the chemical that gets you high. The marijuana that people smoke now is much more potent through genetic, than it was in the 60s. And 14% of people who go into rehab go in because they're addicted to marijuana.
Wow, really?
Yes. I took a picture of it in the Star Ledger. 19% of car accidents, not just car accidents, car death accidents where people die, 19% have shown that there's been marijuana in their bloodstream. So
that's terrifying.
Exactly. If you want to make it legal, I mean, there are people who say, well, I don't want to use it because it's not legal. It's because we think, oh, the government's not going to make something that's dangerous legal. Well, of course they do. Smoking is legal.
Wine.
Yeah. Alcohol is legal. So, you know, just because it's legal doesn't necessarily make it good for us. And the thing is that we have to educate the public in terms of what addiction is and not to get involved.
So I think about, who was it? President Reagan's wife? Just say no, is that right?
Yeah.
So, like, is that even possible? What's the deal with that? And I can't believe it's 11:35 already because it's like, my gosh, I just got completely engulfed into this conversation and we went through like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
I don't want it to end. It's like my counseling session right here.
So just say no is an okay thing for people who have not started. In other words, kids.
That's what it was intended for, wasn't it?
Just say no. You know, if you're at a party or at college, say no to alcohol, say no to drugs, say no to marijuana. You don't even know if it's laced with heroin or fentanyl or what it's laced with. It's just, you know, it doesn't matter. You can say, oh, I have a really good, source, and so I know it's good and clean. You don't know. You don't know. So anyway, so just say no is before you even really get involved. Once you are an addict, you're an addict, and just saying no is not sufficient. You really need treatment.
Yeah. What about, do you have any statistics on, like, how many kids do either say no or how many kids are actually, like, by high school, senior year, they've already smoked?
Oh, off the top of my head, I'm going to say I can't tell you for sure, but I know it's sort of like 70%, something.
That's that just so crazy.
A lot.
Yeah,
a lot.
Yeah.
And, you know, the same thing with alcohol. A lot of, well, you know, they, you know, we make it socially acceptable. We glorify it in movies. We promote marijuana. It's an herb like basil or parsley. Well, it's not an herb like basil or parsley. People don't get high on basil and parsley. Except basil, I mean, you go, oh, that smells wonderful. But, yeah, it's got chemicals in it that are unhealthy. Smoking one marijuana cigarette that you roll yourself has enough tar in there as a whole pack of cigarettes. So,
what? Really?
Yeah. So
wow.
If you smoke one, the damage to your lungs is incredible. Plus, because you don't know how it's processed, you can get all kinds of lung diseases, fungus that you don't know that was growing on the leaf that you smoke. It's just, it's dangerous.
So when it goes back to May 11th, and we're talking about the, you know, the May wellness event, number two, in East Amwell, and you can sign up on Eventbrite. Tell us more about what you're going to be talking about that day as it relates to all the different types of people that are going to be in the room, those who are the ones who are addicted, who want to come meet you in person, get to know you and learn more about you, and then learn about addiction.
I am going to talk about it. I'm also going to break addiction down a little bit more into the actual how it actually affects the brain so that people get a better idea. I do this with my clients. I draw a picture of neurons in the brain and what happens when we use drugs and alcohol and how it affects our neurotransmitters. So a neurotransmitter is the chemical that that our brain, like one brain cell, will create, and it sends a message to the next brain cell. So dopamine, we've heard of dopamine, we've heard of serotonin.
Oh, yes, I've heard of that.
Right.
Dopamine,
so
I haven't really.
SSRIs, you know, so in dopamine. Those are feel-good neurotransmitters. So when I feel good, my brain is producing them, and it's sending them from one neuron to the other. So neurotransmitters, it gets an electrical impulse, and so it's just sort of sending that chemical. So what happens if I become an addict? My brain stops making the dopamine or the serotonin, or depending upon what chemical I'm using, and I'm flooding my brain with a chemical that has similar receptor quality. So what I mean by that, it's like a key. So it's like the key of dopamine fits into the cell, but the key of alcohol looks so similar, it also fits in and does the same thing.
But it doesn't really do the same thing.
And then your brain stops making the dopamine on its own, and so now you begin to search out the drugs because it makes me feel better.
Wow.
Right. And then when you stop using the drug, your brain's still not making dopamine, so you get depressed.
So that's why the medicine, that's why medication sometimes supplements that balance? Is that what it is? Is that what you're saying? Oh, because I remember, I have learned a little bit, of course, I know a lot and a little bit, because I'm not you, but in the person that I am, I've learned a lot. I always thought that, I didn't realize that there was something that stopped it, that the medication starts to make it work again. I thought that it just wasn't working, or that it needed to have more, you know, because they talk about that. I don't know. It's so fascinating. I just want you to know that she's going to be appearing on May 11th to talk about this. Last year, she was at our home at Mariah 122 Manners Road, and I literally was sitting on the edge of my seat the whole day.
Yeah, last year I really gave an overview of mental health in general. So, you know, I talked about anxiety and depression and post-traumatic stress and communication styles and how to deal with stress and anger. So I kind of focused on that. But I really wanted to talk a little bit more about addiction this time. I am going to touch on those other things, but I really thought I wanted to provide some education to the public a little bit more about addiction and how it affects the individual and the family.
Yeah, so like if someone were to come into your office, What is, how long do they normally go through the process with you?
It really depends on each person. I've had people in my office for, you know, 3 or 4 months, and I have had people that I see from when I first opened my practice about 19 years ago. The people that I see it that are that long are only coming maybe once every month, every 6 weeks, just sort of to check in. And that's, you know, that's fine. I would say on average, depending upon the issues, I would say maybe a year and a half to 2 years on average.
What about when you were, last year we were also talking about breaking like the stigma, right? So it's like anybody out there who wants to come on May 11th, they can come without judgment, right? Because isn't that the hardest part about getting people to an event is that they just feel like, I don't want to put my hand up because I'm going to look like I'm a loser or something,
right?
Which is totally not the case.
No, this is really about providing education to the public. This is not a group therapy. It's not about getting people into treatment, though somebody might end up getting into treatment, but it really is just about providing a more in-depth education to the public.
And I think, I know me, I totally can't wait because I think you've got so much information and there we have so many unanswered questions, you know what I mean? Because it is a stigma. So it's like, you know, where do you go to like learn about this stuff? When you talk about the brain scan thing, it's just completely fascinating to me. Like the future of the science of addiction.
It really is the future of the science of addiction and mental health in general.
Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting, you know, we've taken the heart apart and the lungs and we've really looked at those different organs. We don't think of the brain as an organ. It's interesting. However, the brain really is an organ, and it functions in a particular way, and sometimes it doesn't function properly, and so we need to take care of it. And we can take care of it by the way we eat, exercise, sleep, but we can also change the way we think. It's the only organ in our body that can actually change itself on its own. So if I want to change my breathing pattern, my brain does that for me. If I want to move my arm,
wow,
my brain does that for me.
Nice.
If I want to blank, right, my brain does that for me. But my brain can change itself. So if I'm thinking dark, negative thoughts, I'm dumb, I'm stupid, life sucks, everything's going to go wrong, it goes wrong in my life, that's okay. Or I can tell myself to stop and say, life is good, I enjoy being with myself, I'm a creative person, I can make good, supportive friends. I can change the way I think.
I totally agree with that because I know whenever I start to get like anxious or overwhelmed by something and I'm like, I could go in the wrong direction. And then all of a sudden, if I'm like, wait a second, you know, been there, seen it, done it, lived through it type of thing,
right.
Just smiling, I can see a total change in the attitude. I want everybody to know, again, I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is I Love New Jersey. And Ruth Altamaro Roll, is Counselor Chat host, is going to be appearing and having an open to the public event on May 11th. What I want you to know is, what I want to say to you too, is that one of the things I love about you is that you are a teacher. Like what you're telling us right now is information that we don't get. If we go into the hospital with someone who's being checked in or volunteering or whatever, there's different personalities of how treatment and how communication and information is given to us. And I just want you to know that I think that the way that you deliver it is very, like you said, empathetic and compassionate. And it's informative. So if you're listening and you agree, come to our event on May 11th. Because otherwise, I mean, a lot of times people don't tell it to you like this. They just say, hey, sorry, person's messed up. Take it easy. Thanks for dropping them off. See you later. And by the way, they're discharged tomorrow. Pick them up. I mean, it's just a crazy place, but your information, it helps, especially what you're talking about with, like, the brain and everything about it, so.
Yeah, and I'm going to say this. I try and talk about it in a way that is easy for people to understand.
Right. That's what you're doing.
I'm going to say it's actually more complicated than I am saying.
I'm sure.
But hopefully somebody's like, well, this is really interesting. Let me Google addiction in the brain.
Mm.
You know, let me do a little my own research and find out what she's talking about. And so I definitely encourage people to do that. we still, and I've said this before, we have such a stigma around mental health and even around addiction. You know, we think there's something bad about that person. You know, what's wrong with them? And so we shame the addict who's already filled with shame. And we don't do that anymore with people. I'm going to say anymore with people who have cancer. What's wrong with you that you got cancer? What's wrong with you have diabetes? But we do that with addiction because we still don't want to look at it as a disease. Here's the reality. Do you know anyone in your wide circle of friends who said, oh, when I was a kid, I played addict? I couldn't wait to grow up and be an addict? Like,
wow.
It's not a life choice.
Right.
And so it happens to people. There are some genetic predispositions towards it. And if I grow up in an alcoholic family, I learn how to self-medicate. I've got clients who say, yeah, my father was an alcoholic. He was giving me beer when I was 5. I was rolling my mother's marijuana cigarettes when I was 3. So, you know, it becomes just part of your family's culture.
It's unbelievable. It's so true. It's so true. I know everybody out there can relate to exactly what you're saying. I know I can. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is I Love New Jersey. Location, location, location. I'm with Weikert Flemington if you're looking to buy, sell, or rent. And my guest is Ruth Altamaro Roll. We're going to go to our break, but we want you to stay with us so you can learn more about how to sign up for our event on May 11th and get, you know, information on addiction right from Ruth directly.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
All right, we're at the end of the show already here. It's about 11:50 on Wednesday morning, and Ruth Altamaro Roll is talking about the upcoming event on May 11th. Go ahead and take it from here because I want you to make sure you get everything you want said.
Sure. So this is going to be the second event called Spring into Mental Health. It's in May because May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and so people who are licensed professional counselors, which is what I am, we are sort of charged to promote good mental health and encourage the people to learn about licensed professional counselors. So we're not social workers, we're counselors. It's different, mm-hmm. Closer to psychologists, I'll say. But I really like promoting good mental health and mental wellness. I know we've talked about that in the past. And to remove the stigma, and that's part of why I do this. And so it's going to be on May 11th. It's from 10 to 2:30. Lunch is included. You can go on Eventbrite to find it. It's $35 for the day.
Which is nothing for the information that you get out of it. And lunch.
And it's at a beautiful attend will enjoy that. And I already know some people that are coming back from last
year. Oh, that's so nice. Me, I'm included.
So I'm excited about that. And yes, this time, you know, addiction is really at the forefront. You know, it's on the news every day. And so I really thought, you know, not just talking about, you know, fentanyl and heroin and all of that, to really give people a little bit broader and deeper understanding of addiction. So we just kind of talk about it. We talk about the addictive substances, but to really learn about the disease, I think, is important, and how it affects the family and what you can do if it is in your family, how to treat it, how to handle it.
Give us a couple tips.
Well, you know, we talk a little bit about enabling and caretaking, and so that's one thing. You have to remember that you didn't cause it, you can't cure it, and you can't, you can't fix it. It's you know, the person who is actively involved, they have to get into treatment. And I'm going to underscore again, if you're addicted, go to your local hospital to get detox. Do not detox on your own. It's dangerous. You can die from detoxing on your own. So really important to know that. It would be unethical and unprofessional not to underscore that. So that's really important. And I will talk about that. There is a process. You go to detox. Detox is 3 to 5 days. Then you can go to a rehab, which is 14 days, sometimes 28 days. 28 days. Why 28 days? Not because that's what people need for a cure. It's because that's what happens with insurance companies. They won't pay more than that. So, you know, I'm going to say...
Is it enough time?
No. People in my field know that it takes 2 years for the brain to really heal. So, you know, we talk about going to AA meetings. They say 90 meetings in 90 days. So you go to your 3-day detox, you go to a 14-day rehab, you go out, you go to meetings, you go to 90 meetings in 90 days, you get yourself a sponsor, you start working the steps. Here's the other thing that's really interesting. 10% of people who go to AA stay sober. The rest relapse. Remember I talked about the cycle of change? When you combine AA or NA, Narcotics Anonymous, with therapy, it goes up to 67%
chance
recovery.
Wow.
So
wow.
Good. If, you know, getting into counseling while you're going to AA is really important, because it does. AA is a support group. It's not a therapy group.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have trauma, depression, anxiety, all of those underlying issues, they're not going to really deal with that in AA.
You're going to talk about it, but you're not going to understand yourself, because that's what you do. I love that. Go ahead.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to do on May 11th, and we're going to talk about, you know, addiction, but we're also going to talk about depression, trauma, and some other things. Really encouraging people and removing stigmas. I have had years of my own counseling. I have to tell you, I don't know where I would be if I hadn't been in counseling myself. It's really something. It's sort of, I guess, in some ways, giving back, being a counselor, because it's just really helped me tremendously. You wouldn't even know who I was when I
want you to write that book.
Yeah.
I do. I could just picture it. It would be like turning page.
I was a mess when I was a kid. But I grew up in a dysfunctional family, and so I fit the mold. Counseling really helped me a great deal, and I helped my self-esteem, helped with my own depression and my own childhood traumas, and so I definitely encourage people to seek out counseling. It's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard work, because you got to look at all your pain and all the ugly, icky stuff that you've got inside. But I say, like, if you've got a splinter in your finger, you could leave it in there and just let it fester, or you could deal with the pain of
poking at it and finally pulling it out with a pair of tweezers.
Wow.
And then you heal.
Nah. Sign me up.
Yeah.
okay. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is I Love New Jersey, and I really do. Location. Ruth Altamaro World. I hope you enjoy this conversation. I hope you see how real she is. Come and meet her on May 11th. Last words?
Yes. So it's Eventbrite. You can also find it on Counselors Chat, which is my radio show, but I've been posting it there. So if you want to go on Counselors Chat, and you could see other shows I'm doing, but you could find the link on Counselors Chat, Facebook, to Eventbrite and it's $35 May 11th from 10 to 2:30. We're going to have a good time. So it's going to be not just me talking. It's going to be experiential. Lunch is going to be provided, and we're going to have a lovely day in a beautiful setting.
Oh, I love it.
I'm really excited.
Oh, last year I was there, and I remember just it felt so good, and it's May, and it was wellness, and you taught me so much that I've actually reflected on that throughout the whole year, just so you know, and I can't wait until this May 11th for the second one. So Ruth's coming up next on Counselor Chat, so stay with us at 12 o'clock, and I'll be back at 3. Talented people, have a great week. Thanks,
Ruth. Thank you so much.
Oh, my gosh, my pleasure. Thank you. Thanks for watching.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Over $1 billion has now been pledged to a fund for the rebuilding of the cathedral at Notre Dame in Paris following this week's massive fire. Meanwhile, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is leading a congressional delegation to Europe as Congress is on a vacation. She spoke today before the Parliament of Ireland and discussed the tragedy.
With the tragic fire in one of the greatest jewels of faith, history, and civilization, Notre Dame de Paris, we pray and extend our gratitude to the brave firefighters who controlled the damage as much as it was and were able to save lives in many of the wonders of that cathedral.
Police in Colorado say some tips connected to a woman who they say is obsessed with the Columbine High School shootings have produced some points of interest. They're looking for the woman, and in the meantime, schools around the Denver area remain shut down. And this is USA Radio News.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities, or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Available on Amazon.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
The Trump administration is looking to undo the normalization of relations with Havana that was begun by the Obama administration. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo saying the State Department is lifting restrictions on U.S. lawsuits against foreign companies using properties that were seized by Cuba.
Implementing Title III in full means a chance at justice for Cuban Americans who have long sought relief for Fidel Castro and his lackeys seizing property without compensation.
Pompeo saying, since the Obama administration began the normalization of relations with Havana's government, Cuba's behavior has only gotten worse. President Trump predicting that Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders and former VP Joe Biden will be the finalists among the many Democrats in the 2020 presidential race. In a tweet today, the president referred to Sanders as crazy and to Biden as sleepy. Find us online at usaradio.com.
America is built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
A big portion of the grandstand at the Pimlico Racecourse in Baltimore will be closed for the upcoming 114th running of the Preakness in May. The track's owners say the Maryland Stadium authorities concluded there's been significant deterioration to the northern section of those seats over the years, so 6,500 of them are unsafe. Some Baltimore lawmakers say the announcement's only a ploy by the track's ownership group to move the race to its other property, Laurel Park, which is located between Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. A former independent counsel says redactions in the Mueller report, which is expected to be released tomorrow, are